A crossover is...
Crossover dribble.
Sing for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving. Crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Off to the double crossover.
The crossover continues to evolve.
Time for the crossover, Gary Sharp Show featuring George. I'm guessing there's a couple segments set aside for the WNBA draft, at least the first, I don't know, 20, 30 picks or something like that. We'll break it down pick by pick.
It's not needed.
Not needed? We need that information.
What was going on with the partying, though?
Oh, was that pick six where you had the lady with the green on that was dancing?
The world was going on.
That was crazy.
That was funny. Pick four. Grandma was getting it.
Grandma was doing it. Yeah. Good for her. Good for her.
Grandmas should always get it.
Get it.
The first overall pick was talking about how people have always doubted her and maybe they don't like her. She has got her own podcast. What's the deal? Why was she saying those things?
I've never heard her podcast, but a lot of people do doubt her. I mean, she didn't do much for Texas. Like a lot of people do think she was overrated in that sense. The Texas team didn't go as far, but she needed help. I mean,
yeah,
you can't do it all yourself, especially in the post. Yeah.
I got the sense people kind of hate it because she tries to be a pretty girl too, right?
Yeah, they'll get that slack as well. It's like, oh wow, you're
you know,
pretty.
It's like she's just doing too much.
Well, a lot of them in WNBA like that, and even college. Remember, we were talking about how it's come along from when I was covering it to what's going on now. It's a huge difference.
Right. Yeah, Don Imus would not have any material.
No, he would not be able to talk about these young ladies.
Yeah, would not have as much material.
Mm-mm. Hey, Vivian signed a new 5-year deal.
Stringer?
Yeah.
How old is she?
Six, seven, 70, maybe?
Brian, huh? 70s.
Yeah. I thought she... Didn't I see that, though? Is she 67?
She's
somewhere
around forever.
I mean, I will always remember as the Iowa women's basketball coach.
She's 73.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she was coaching in like the mid-70s.
That far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember, I remember at Iowa when I was growing up, and so how long has she been at Rutgers?
Yeah, she's been at Rutgers for 22 seasons.
Okay.
It's been a while
since she's been in Iowa City.
She left Iowa in 95.
I was the manager for the women's varsity basketball team my senior year, and we went to go see DePaul play Rutgers.
I'm sorry, pardon?
Go see DePaul play Rutgers.
Yeah, I was the manager for the varsity women's basketball team at my high school.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She got her first job in 1972
George,
at Cheney State.
George says something every day where I give him a double take. Like,
so, like
wait.
Chuchi? he's eating Chuchi?
Hey, so when Iowa hired her, that was like a huge deal.
Oh,
she was really good at Cheney State. Did a promotion. I think... George, you would know more than anybody else, maybe. I believe that Iowa women's basketball still has the highest attended game in the history of the sport because she did a promotion. They were getting ready to play Ohio State, who back then had Katie Smith. Remember that name? They're like, Ohio State was like a
the
Final
bucket,
14.
She was a bucket.
She did this commercial that aired statewide in Iowa where she was in an empty Carver Hawkeye Arena, and she talked about this dream of filling up the place. So Carver Hawkeye Arena only seats 15,000. They had 22,000 people show up.
22,157.
They had people standing on. Because Carver Hawkeye, you walk in and then you walk all the way down to the floor.
Uh-huh.
They had people standing up on the concourse like 4 or 5 deep. They had they were violating all kinds of fire marshal laws. But they had 22,000 for a women's game. They were 7,000 over capacity.
Against Ohio State, February 3rd, 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like the commercial, I remember she walked up like the steps and she talked about a dream, and they were okay back then. I don't know how they ended up. And
yeah,
I
mean, they said the reason why she left was because her husband passed away, and she moved closer to where her family was.
Well, it may have also been the wrestling program.
Yeah,
they had a little Title IX fighting going on.
They got hit with the caveat too. They only counted 14,821 because it was paying. So it doesn't.
It was pretty
it's
cool.
Not
it was
in
like
the
a,
record books
it was like a
officially.
It was like a Sunday afternoon.
But it really happened.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's still. Yeah, she just signed a 5-year extension, I think.
That's incredible. She won her 900th
game.
Not near
as incredible as Bill Self's lifetime contract, but.
Especially coming off of the fact that he's been paying players.
No, it's not been proven, per se, but.
Wow. I mean, other than that.
Wow.
Whatever. Give him a lifetime contract.
Allegedly.
You might want to add that allegedly.
Allegedly.
Who do you think is the player that he has paid the most?
Well, I think the most he offered was to Zion. I think that was the most he offered. But, of course, he went to Duke for free. So, because he passed up all that money. It was at Kansas and went to Duke.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to look it up.
We're going to be going in the shot jock territory here.
That's not shot jock. It's in the testimony. It's in the testimony.
Read it. Speaking
allegedly.
Of.
Allegedly. Go get a lawyer, sir.
It's in the testimony.
Speaking of which,
he's a public figure. I can say that.
How crazy was it to read the not guilty verdict from Katerian Legron? Was that not a shock? Wowzer. I was my level of surprise was
like we were saying reading along
was very very high.
Fair reading along with testimonies. It seemed like they made it sound like that she didn't have the problem with it when it was happening. That's what
that would be tough.
Didn't it seem like the coverage was awful quiet?
It was
you got obviously Lincoln's paper was covering it more than Omaha's, but you're right. I think it's just hard to cover.
It was hard. It was hard.
I think it's
cover.
Difficult to cover. Definitely difficult to talk about on the radio.
Yeah.
So what happens to Andre Hunt?
Now he's still got to go through his trial, right?
He pleaded. So he testified.
He pled, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turned state's evidence. Which, if you don't get what you're after, right, don't you work on that ahead of time? Like, if your plea deal is your plea deal regardless of what your testimony yields?
Yes.
Once you say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
At least that's the way it works on the television
shows.
They
cannot make any guarantees based off of that, but they can give you the actual sentence, and that's guaranteed, yeah.
Man, Andre Hunt, so that incident happened the Saturday night after their last scrimmage, the week before the season, and Andre Hunt was going to be the starting wide receiver in the opening game.
Yep. That's what got Cade Warner into the lineup. Yep.
Mm.
Now, the amount of accusations between the two guys and Andre Hunt went over the course of over a year. So what happened with all of those accusations outside of this particular one?
No, it just is. I don't, you know, we're not on the news side. It just didn't seem like there was a lot of coverage. I mean, you would think because of two former Nebraska football players that it would draw more coverage. It just seemed like the coverage wasn't. You know, like we've seen in other cases that have involved former Nebraska football players.
It was initially, you had a lot, but then, it went away.
Yeah, I don't know.
He had a good lawyer. I know that. He's a really, really talented lawyer. But
is tomorrow a day for
Saturday.
You? You have basketball and you have practice.
Football.
Yeah, to just lock.
You know
down.
What? If Nebraska wasn't practicing,
I will miss Micah's second.
If Nebraska wasn't practicing, tomorrow's a really good day for spring games. There's some really good spring games on the docket tomorrow.
Yeah, I've tried not to be overwhelmed too much by that, except for I did, full disclosure, pay attention to Florida State spring game because I wanted to see what was happening at the quarterback spot. And that's a really good story. Not only for Milton, but
he looked good. Actually,
I was shocked.
Some of those throws, he looked really good.
I was shocked at how good Milton looked.
Yeah, it was a good cut up on.
And it appears, man, Norvell, he must be the real deal.
Well, they had a weird year last year because I think they were impacted heavily by COVID.
Definitely,
I mean, guys that got COVID.
Yeah,
they have an abundance of talent. And
he's
got a track record.
They appear to like him.
Mm-hmm.
Like
even,
the
even
players.
After
yeah,
how it
the
started,
little whatever with the D lineman.
Yeah,
I talked to my guys. No, you didn't.
The misunderstanding of talking opposed to texting.
Norvell, he appears to be the real deal. We like the hire.
I thought it was a great hire.
That's for one.
So you have Miami tomorrow at 11 o'clock on the ACC network.
Which that one I wouldn't. They've got. There's like 25 guys that are not playing because of injuries.
You've got Pitt following them on the ACC network.
Which, by
tomorrow.
The way, why are Rousseau and company flying under the radar as pass rushers?
You know, I've seen him as I've seen Russo as high as 10 mm-hmm. and as low as in the late 20s.
I think behind it's his teammate
the,
for one.
I think it's the tape, like sitting out last year. I wonder how much that has to do with it. I've seen a couple guys that drop because they didn't play.
So you have
even Penei Sewell.
You have Kwity Paye one for pass rushers.
That's who the majority of people have as number one. Yeah.
Oh, Kwity Paye. Well, I think Sewell is dropping a little because people like Slater as much or more.
Yeah. I wonder how many if Penei Sewell would have played this season, how much of a difference that would have made in how much they like him or don't like him.
People are high on Slater, boy.
I like I the thing know. That Illinois, and I wouldn't be. I mean, they say this all the time, but he's more likely to go to guard.
Slater?
Than Sewell is.
How about Northwestern could have two first-round picks?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Good on Pat Fitzgerald.
But, and they've been doing it. They've had a couple draft picks each year.
But here's like the Cincinnati. When they get to five, if Chase or Sewell is there, what do they do?
Are you saying they're going to say
four or they're trading
no,
four?
No. At five, if both of those guys are still there.
What if Pitts is still there?
Cincinnati would probably pull a Bengal and take Pitts.
I mean, out of those guys, if Pitt doesn't go four and somebody moves up, and
they're going to bungle it like the Bengals and take Pitt.
I think if Chase is there, they would take Chase
just
over
because
Pitts.
Of the tie with LSU.
Yes, yeah, but you have to ask your quarterback. We're at five. Do you want a guy protecting you, or do you want a guy to throw to?
He's like, hey, have you guys seen my knee?
Mm-hmm. I won't be ready until late in August to even play.
I don't know.
I like the Illinois thing doing on Monday night. I think that's a really good idea. Make it a big deal. Put it on Big Ten Network. They're doing mm-hmm. it kind of as a celebration. That's a pretty good idea.
Well, I think all these things should just be. Florida does this. They just take it like an hour, 2 hours, and it's just a celebration of their football program. They take advantage of the network, so you get to meet all of the coaches. They have all because they look at it as recruiting. They have all the coaches speak on camera. They go through all the different drills, and then they'll do a little bit of 11-on-11.
Then it rains. And then after the rain, they come back.
And they will probably have, you know, some guys on the sidelines, some NFL dudes that are there.
Yeah.
They use it as a recruiting tool, which spring games really should be. And I think from here on out, beginning tomorrow to when we get into June, all of the stuff that's tweeted out is not for us. It's for 17 and 18-year-old kids. Okay? So don't go, well, what are they talking about here? It's not for us. Mm-hmm. They're in full recruiting mode right now. Because June becomes a monster month for this football program.
Couple more tomorrow. Utah plays on the Pac-12 network.
See, I'll be curious USC. To see Brewer. Now, my man Curry is there, transferred from LSU. But
right.
But everybody has said Charlie Brewer has looked really good.
Will Curry ever be anything more than a guy who's a runner? I mean, that's what he is, right?
I don't know.
Eventually, like, kind of a duck R more than he is an actual stand-in-the-pocket quarterback. Is that what we're talking about?
No,
the little running back.
Oh, the backup running back from LSU. I thought you were talking about
That's your buddy's son. Right?
Yeah, he just needed out of Baton Rouge.
A lot of people do.
They had from what I understand, from what Dad said,
place is a mess.
It was a rough year off the field for that entire program, like locker room field, all the stuff going on. He needed
just couldn't handle success.
Yeah, he's not real good in the classroom.
How many guys left? And then, of course, you had the allegations of what's happening with sexual assault, all that. USC 2 tomorrow.
So there's a game. I mean, will the dude that snuck in and fielded punts and got in a hot tub with the other players, will he be playing? You hear about that?
Pardon?
You guys have not talked about this?
No, I didn't hear about it. USC?
Okay. So this is a story that's told by somebody that is a USC reporter. That he wasn't necessarily homeless. But he was of college age, maybe a little bit older, somehow integrated himself into the USC football program where he shared a hot tub with some players, like a cold tub. He then ate with some players, and then he was on the field in uniform catching punts until somebody was like, who is that guy?
Come on, man. How did he get the gear?
So this is a story that's been reported by one person, but that's somebody that, you know, Scott Wolf, who is like Mr. USC reporter. Nobody else has been able to confirm it, but nobody denies it.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I find that real hard to believe.
Me too.
That somebody, like even a player would go, hey.
Who are you?
Yeah. What? Hey, I don't know you. I mean, the program is big, yes, but I mean, you're gonna know most people that are around you, and especially if you're out there catching punts, it's the same guys nearly every day. Yeah. You're going to go, who are you?
Well,
but he was in uniform. He got a uniform. They gave him a uniform.
Can he play?
The trainers wouldn't know.
Can he
that
play?
He was out of place. Yeah, could he play?
I don't know.
They
escorted him out.
The guy who played for Texas that one year, they went to the Orange Bowl in 96, he could actually play. Remember that guy? He was 28 years old, and he had played back in the day, and he came back and played that one year. That guy could actually play.
Back in the day?
Back in the day. Here's your SECs. Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, and Mississippi State.
Hey, by the way, before I get out of here, I'm going to meet your guy, Dr. Stark. How about the nice little pickup for poor Bear Chandler?
That is a good pickup.
It is.
They've been working on it for a while.
Are you on the side that you and those not recruiting enough local guys?
Gym rat.
They're not recruiting enough local guys?
Michigan Lance called. Michigan Lance.
We went through the roster.
He had a bad morning.
He's like, well, they should be 9 out of the 13 should be from Omaha.
He had a bad morning. He'll be all right.
They have enough to where they can, you know, they build a program there with just the Omaha.
Their starting five might be either from Kansas City or Omaha. So, I mean, what does he want?
9 out of 13.
Today was the day that Michigan Lance wanted to hear his voice.
Careful, he may call you.
That's he said fine. 9 out of 13. I said they have five. And then it would have been 6 with Booth. And he's like, well, it should be 9 out of 13.
And again, they were the first offer Saint. I mean.
Yeah.
And they can't. Stop. They can all do is offer guys.
Stop, Lance. Just focus on why, you know, there's nobody at Creighton. Give me your starting five for Creighton.
Well, he took his shot at Creighton too.
Yeah,
that was a couple weeks ago. He's still talking about expectations.
How about piling on? And then with all that happening, then Ty does his interview with The Athletic to put that out there too, to make sure you know the reason why he didn't come is because of.
Well, I think. That's crazy. It's going to last as long as Mac is here. Schools are going to use that against Creighton. Now there will be, you know, Paul Lusk. He's out there trying to recruit, and he's saying, you know what? I've known Mac for this amount of time, and he didn't have a racist bone in his body. We made a mistake. Okay, now let's talk about Creighton. They're up against it, and it'll be there. And some kids will say, "Oh, I get it. It was a mistake." Other kids, because somebody else will say something, and you know. And then you've lost that kid.
This isn't exactly the same, but it's kind of like what happened when Dana left and then came back for a couple of years, where people were like, well, are you just going to leave again when you're trying to recruit to back to Creighton, that kind of thing? It's a little bit like that, but obviously it's more impactful even to African-Americans.
His recruiting is kind of interesting because, you know, who knows where he's going to go? He's supposed to do a top five this weekend, but he decommitted from Creighton and his ratings actually went up.
Really?
Yes.
I saw that.
If you look on Rivals in 24/7, his writings
went up. Oh, yeah,
you
did ask me that. Yeah. I thought you were just messing around.
No, I was like looking at his numbers going, wow, that's pretty high. It's higher than I remember.
Yeah. Start over.
He and Bishop on ESPN has him ranked number 12 in terms of transfers.
Well, and look at the options that he's going to have. He's going to have Texas, North Carolina, or KU.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, those aren't bad options to have.
Go North Carolina. How about that?
You probably have a good shot. I think KU has a good shot. I think Texas is
Hubert
building.
Went first. Let him talk to Sean May. He'll tell you how to.
How do you like your staff there? You got Sean May, Jeff Lebo.
A lot of Carolina.
There is.
A lot of Carolina.
Got to keep it in the family.
And Wes Miller ended up going to Cincinnati, right?
That's a really good hire.
Tell you what, man. They had to start over, though. Brandon, they lost all those guys.
Well, and is it. Are they investigating him or are they investigating the program?
I think it was just him on his practices, right? That he maybe pushed the envelope against trainers.
Now, didn't they have 8 guys? So, like, Minnesota and Texas Tech have 9 guys in the portal.
Yeah.
They have 9 of the
Cincinnati has 6 or 7.
Yeah. Missouri was the one I saw that had, at one point, was the most, but there's a lot more in there now. Ty's now 30th ranked player.
Goodman stopped at 1250 of the scholarship guys that had moved. 12-5.
That have mood orders in the portal.
In a portal.
In the portal. Mm.
Didn't count the guys that have walked on. He said roughly 1250. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
And again, what are there? No. 360 in Division I? 349? What's the number for Division I?
351.
Let's say you do 351 times 10.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
You have a third of the guys portaling.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna get really interesting now.
A third.
Because you don't have to worry about the 1 year. I wonder if you would do this. So I brought this up yesterday on the show. and I'm for freedom. But you got to remember, freedom. You might get
like
hurt.
Mel Gibson?
You might get hurt because there's going to be more processing going on. You
know, sure.
If I'm a head coach and I bring a new DC in and he says, hey, we got a new scheme, I'm going to take all the guys that don't fit, I'm going to walk them into a room to a computer, and I'm going to have them enter their information into the portal, and I'm going to say, sorry, guys, gone.
Or at least say to them, this option now, by the way. The portal's there if you want to.
Yeah. I mean, so there's the good and the bad here, but you have to be able to accept it. You want your freedom, but you have to understand coaches are probably going to be more apt to do it.
It's a two-way street.
But how about this? What about coaches? And it'll be more on basketball than football, but coaches basically using mid-majors or group of five or FCS as your minor leagues.
Right.
Hey, go to Omaha for two years.
That's what's happening in the DH.
Prove what you can do. Yeah. We can't give you a scholarship now, but you go there, you play 2 years, you prove it. We got a scholarship
put
waiting
you in the
for
portal,
you.
Come see us, yeah.
I mean, football, it's the portal is great for quarterbacks and select other players. Like Gray from Tennessee. Pruitt gets canned. He doesn't want to stay there. He goes in the portal. He's a big-time player. He ends up at Oklahoma.
Well, look at Rambo.
There aren't a ton of guys in football outside of quarterbacks that fall up.
I think wide receiver would be the one.
Yeah, that would be another.
That's about it.
Next best bet, yeah.
But, you know, and then the Cox that went from North Dakota State to LSU, those guys are rare. But in football, you very rarely, outside of the skill positions, are falling up in your decision.
You know the other position? Kicker.
Yeah.
That's the other one. Everybody needs a great kicker. You could be anywhere. Assumption. You could be any small school. You can kick. They'll bring you up.
But what will be scary about this is what they do with the roster size. Like if they keep it at 85 for football, if they expand it, then that gets scary.
Yeah. Well, you can do it like Sam said, which made a little bit of sense, is just the five spots and they're just for transfer guys. You cannot use scholarship. You can't use high school guys.
Adding on to that, here's the fear. See, I think in basketball.
Which is vastly different than football.
Yes, vastly different. Basketball right now, junior college basketball is still going on because they started late.
Right.
There's some really good junior college players, like impact guys, that haven't found a home because everybody is talking about guys in the portal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some schools that aren't winning the portal, they're down recruiting junior college guys. I wonder, in both sports, what happens with programs that hold scholarships for transfers and it hurts high school kids. Hey, we're going to hold three or four scholarships for guys that might transfer. We're not going to go after high school guys.
Yeah, that's vastly different than, let's say, a Division I football coach holding a scholarship or two back for a walk-on spot, right? Because there's 85 of those. That's a big difference.
I mean, I think when Nebraska gets done with spring football, what would you put the total at? Three players that might transfer? Look at, I mean, it could be kind of interesting in May and June with guys that leave.
Right.
If you have some scholarships available, you're in a good spot instead of always being at 85.
But how many schools
that you have some open
are holding it for Xavier Worthy, that wide receiver guy? Like, how many people, how many schools are going, we're saving a spot for him?
Unless you,
only one of them's going to get him.
Unless you knew that he was, you know, going to be in, you're like, okay, let's hold that one.
Yeah. Right.
But I think now, I think it'll be rare to be at 85. So you have some wiggle room. So if all of a sudden somebody leaves at the last moment and you have a need, you can be like, hey, we got a full ride scholarship. That's what, I mean, these guys that are going to the portal, they got to understand, they're going after a full ride scholarship. They aren't changing.
Yeah.
Just because you're in the portal.
One to go get one. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And the junior college and the FCS that's playing, all those guys are going to be going in there again. We talked about this quarterback for Southeastern Louisiana. He's 6'7", he's 200, he's putting up big numbers. He's going to come back and play in the fall, but I mean, if he decided, he can't transfer. That's the good thing, because he already transferred out of Arkansas. But it'll be guys like that.
Even
over at Iowa Western, of course.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, Nate Glantz decides he doesn't want to hang around for the fall, he'll have some options.
And I think coach is already preparing for that.
Well, and especially if they're academically, they're okay. There's no hiccups, they can just transfer seamlessly.
That makes a huge difference.
I think May and June in football will be quite interesting. Like Nebraska, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, Nebraska is going to need to add a quarterback.
Yeah.
But will they add other positions if there are guys available that they have past connections
I think
with?
It depends on what happens in the spring. Do you feel you have that other cornerback to go opposite of Cam Taylor-Britt? Do you feel that you have a backup quarterback that capably can come in the game? Do you feel like you've got enough talent at wide receiver? Do you feel like you've got enough talent at tackle? Because really they're shorthanded at tackle, true tackles. So maybe those are the spots. But I do believe they'll have at least four or five guys that attrition out. because they'll go through spring, they won't get a lot of time, and they'll go, well, this
well,
is time
I,
for me
I think,
to go.
I think there's at least one, we'll get one out of a running back spot.
Yes.
I mean, those guys aren't, even if they were all healthy, yeah. I mean, you got an abundance of running backs.
You got five, yeah. You six scholarship guys, mm-hmm. and they're all fairly young.
Yeah.
Outside of Step, you've got four of those guys came in within two classes mm-hmm. of each other. Yeah.
And one guy who was supposed to by now be in the mix for more carries.
Right. And Sevion Morrison's had zero carries, hadn't done anything. Mm-hmm. Marvin Scott got a little bit, obviously.
I mean, Ramir
Tompkins been hurt.
Where
and then there's Ramir Johnson, who's the oldest out of all of them.
Right. In the program.
Yeah, he's the oldest out of all those guys.
But if I, you know, Nebraska won't be at 85 and they have some wiggle room, why not? You know, one year, bring him in, see if they can fill a need at a spot that you have to have some depth.
Yeah. We can't answer all these questions, and Dan made fun of me about this, but sometimes you just have to throw it out there, see what the mistakes are, what doesn't work, and then you fix them. And I think that's what this is going to be, whether it's NIL or the transfer. This year is all about finding out where the holes are. And then you come back and you fill those holes later.
Well, you're going
with
to go,
rules.
You're going to be able to show. So I've always, one thing that blew me away, the first time I went into Bo's office when I moved back here.
The board?
I looked at their board.
Yeah.
And their board basically looked like an NFL free agency
it does.
Board. It
yeah.
didn't look like the 5-year drawn out board.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, gosh, how can you get away with that?
Yeah.
You've got to know where you're going with a 5-year plan. And at that time, their recruiting was up in the air and who was in
yeah.
charge and all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right.
Now, though, I think it's going to go back to year to year.
Well, now you're going to have six.
Mm-hmm.
So not only will you have your 5 years, but you're going to have the one on, here's a guy that we recruited, that we were close on. He's probably going in the portal. Let's make sure we keep in touch with him. Make sure
yep.
he's a guy that we want him to know if you change your mind. And that's that guy from Michigan. Nebraska recruited him.
Yep.
They were on their list. He was one of the, he wasn't, I think he was in their final 7 or 8. You never know. And that's what it's going to be about. Nowadays, when a kid doesn't pick your school anymore, fan bases, chill.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to piss the dude off, so when he decides to get in the portal, he's not thinking about you anymore because of the things you said about it.
Well, 14% of the players in Division I college football transferred. 16% in basketball.
And if you take that number and just take mm-hmm. 4- and 5-star quarterbacks, 4- and 5-star yeah. running backs, and put it there, that number's incredibly high. It's something
See,
like 2 out of every 5 or 2 out of 4.
I'd love to be a quarterback in the portal. Let's say I'm not the starter at my current school.
Yeah.
I can look around the country. And if I played a little bit and I have some film,
yeah.
I can pick and choose where I want to go, especially if I'm younger. You know. And then if you're older, why not your last time? Pick a place you want to go to. Look at Jack Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Cohen went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Jack Cohen actually might play at Notre Dame.
He's going to get a degree from Notre Dame. That's pretty awesome.
You know, so he got to choose because he wasn't, you know, they've moved on. They're going to have Graham Mertz as their quarterback.
Sure, right.
But there's, you know, look at McCaffrey.
And McKenzie Milton.
Yeah.
Look where he's at. You go from a really good, obviously, school in UCF, but now you mm-hmm. have a chance to play with. Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty
yep.
cool.
You know, even like a Patrick O'Brien, who was
Another
starting
example.
At Colorado State.
Yep.
He's now got to go to a place that's the best place he's been.
He's going to Washington, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's looking at, I go to Washington, I'll go to the NFL.
You almost need an agent.
You do.
You have to deal with all that. Maybe your dad, your mom, whatever helps you. But you almost need somebody who legally understands your rights to be able to tell you, here's what's the best for you. And each state, each county, each school, the amount of money you get for cost of attendance is different
mm-hmm.
based off of how much it costs to live there. So that's also should be factored in as well. You go to a place like USC where cost of living is skyrocketing, you're going to get more. You go to a place like Lincoln, not as much so. That's a part of it.
Don't burn bridges.
Oh, definitely
the
don't
kid
burn
as
bridges.
Well, because this is how it works. I know this in the basketball world is somebody is in the portal, another school wants them, they will call if they have a relationship with the head coach or the assistant coach at the school that player was most recently at, and they'll ask them about it, and then they'll say, "Do you know how to get in touch with them?" And if that kid has had a good standing and left on good terms,
yeah.
more like the assistant coach is going to give him a raving thing and he'll say, hey, here's his number.
Yeah. And the way that DMs are set up now,
yeah.
and most of these kids have their DMs open. Now, I don't believe that any of the full-time coaches are allowed to contact them while they're still at a school.
No,
it doesn't
but once,
stop you
once,
from
officially,
somebody.
Once they're officially yeah. in the portal, every school gets a notification.
Yes, right.
Doesn't matter if you're going to recruit that kid or not. You
and the school that you're leaving gets it at the same time. They get the notification at the same time.
Well,
you go and you go to the office, you tell them, you don't tell the coaches.
The compliance office
right.
informs you.
But you don't have to tell the coach. Like, no. I don't have to go to Scott Frost. I go to the compliance office. So I'm essentially, mm-hmm. the Scott Frost is finding out around the same time as all the other schools are finding out.
Well, it's going to force coaches to have a relationship with their kids.
Well, that was we had that conversation last year. Is it going to get to a point now where you can't yell at a kid? Where you really can't get on them, and all of a sudden they're going to turn around? Because you know you have to. What was the line Chenander had the other day? They get to find out what size my shoe is. Because occasionally that's what you're going to have to do. You got to put a foot in somebody's butt. Are you going to get to the point now where you're worried about doing that because the guy's going to leave?
But if that kid's going to leave, do I want him?
I don't. That's just it. Man. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Is he good enough to where, yes, you have to cater? Trust me, they didn't want to do what they had to do for Maurice Washington. But they knew, based on watching him play, they needed him. They needed him to make decisions. They needed him to be on the field. And so they did things they normally wouldn't have done for other guys.
Well, and then there's sometimes where a guy interrupts your program.
He's got to move on. Right. But when do you get to that point? Like, how long do you continue to push it until you let that guy? Okay, so Randy Gregory, great example, going back to the day. Randy Gregory struggled being able to get to class, get to practice. So they assigned a person. You're taking him to these places. You don't do that for a guy. You probably don't do that for Caleb Tanner, who's not producing like Randy Gregory did. But it was worth it for them, right?
Oh, it was well
worth
it for Randy Gregory.
Yeah, it was worth it for the program.
Yeah, not everybody's created equal as well.
No, definitely not. That was a line from Jimmy Johnson, remember?
But every kids know that in a program.
Yeah.
They know where they sit. If they don't, then they're in trouble and they probably aren't the ones that hang around.
Although, when you do cater to the other guy, the other kid, who maybe is pretty good too, is saying, well, why can't I get away with that stuff? Why can't I get, you know, Panda Express brought to my room all the time opposed to me having to eat at the training table? I mean, you know, eventually some of the other kids are going to turn and go, this is not something I want to be a part of.
Then that's on the coach. You have to pick and choose.
It's a hell of a balance, man. It's a hell of a, and it's harder and harder. And you heard Scott Frost say that, I think it was last Monday. He goes, you want to talk about what's hard on? It's guys like me. It's going to be hard on us. So,
but you got to get to know your kids. You got to have the temperature of your kids. I mean, that's, if you don't know what's going on in your program or with the kid, you get a notification from the compliance office that says, hey, Bob is leaving.
By the way, he's leaving.
And you go,
how, what?
He was just with us yesterday.
Yeah.
He was just with us practicing.
And they knew Luke. As early as the Rutgers game, they knew. And I know they know DeWanda Robinson pretty early as well. But when it's really a surprise, that's got to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a guy like Travis Fisher, who seems to be so close to his guys. One of them decides to turn and just head out. I'm sure that's got to affect him.
Or, again, you say, for the betterment of our program, we got to have a divorce. Mm, it's just it's not working out. And you're influencing other players that we know want to be here. And that are playing, and we don't need that.
Right.
We don't need that at all. But it's get ready. I mean, there's the part that you get the freedom, and the other part you have to put up with being processed out, and maybe never finding a home if you go into the portal. I mean, look at the amount of Nebraska football players that are in the portal. Guys are still looking for spots.
Yeah.
And really, you think
about Oregon State's Phil, right?
Yeah. You think about guys that left Nebraska. How many have quote unquote fallen up in their decision?
Do you consider Oregon State falling up, or is it lateral? Because they got to play.
Somewhat lateral.
They got to go play, at least. So that's Tyjon Lindsey got to go play.
I mean, Avery Roberts.
Avery Roberts from Delaware, he would go play. So that's helping. But most of them, nothing.
But you don't
they went to FAU or FIU, right?
But not, I mean, that's a step back.
Yeah.
No, you know, what's his name? The defensive back that's Marcus Fleming. Is that, no, Delancey is
Delancey,
at Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland, right. Oh. Yeah. Which is, again, it's kind of lateral.
Which, there's another part of this. Transferring within the conference gets kind of tricky.
Well, that was one of the things that a number of coaches asked for. They asked for that not to be
allowed. So I think the Big Ten is one of the last ones. They're going to approve it, but have not approved it yet, that you can transfer within conference, I believe, without penalty.
You know, if you're going to make a real rule about it, almost division would be more important, I think. Because the two divisions are so separate. They're so different. Whether the location I'm talking about or just the quality of teams, I wouldn't want a kid to go across the street to Iowa. I wouldn't want him to be able to go to just once Wisconsin. But going to Maryland?
No.
Going to Michigan State?
Yeah, Nebraska's got a couple of Iowa transfers.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. By way of Michigan for one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three Big Ten schools.
But you know, like, look at the situation with Oklahoma and TCU. Chandler Morris.
Mm-hmm.
His dad is at TCU with Gary Patterson. Lincoln Riley blocked his transfer.
That was ridiculous.
And it didn't make sense because Chandler Morris isn't going to go to TCU and be the starting quarterback.
Right,
he
right.
might be the third
he's
or fourth.
He's going to be around his dad.
Yeah, he's going to be the third or fourth string quarterback. Yeah.
After you had two quarterbacks play for you that transferred from other schools.
And he's not going to play for you. Right. So why not let him go play somewhere?
Why let him go? Real quick, I'm doing my thing where I go through all the quarterbacks and look at all the draft guys. When you go watch Trey Lance, think about Cam Newton from when Cam Newton was playing at Auburn. They look a lot alike. The way they run, their size. I think he throws the ball better than Cam did. He's impressed me more going back and looking at tape than any of the other guys. Because, by the way, that guy, Trevor Lawrence, you ever notice? That's a nice pass. Most of his stuff is wide or high. A lot of it is. His wide receivers made a ton of really good catches. I go back and look at Justin Fields. I don't see the issues they see. I don't really get the whole Zach Wilson thing. But Trey Lance really impressed you. You go back and you watch that one season. 16 games, almost no turnovers, and big, strong, stands in the pocket, cannon of an arm. A lot like Cam Newton.
Atlanta will have a choice at four.
It's going to be a hell of a choice, but they can't. There's nothing they can do. If they select a quarterback, it takes 2 years to get rid of that deal.
I know.
To be anywhere near friendly for you to get rid of Matt Ryan. So it almost makes sense for them to move if somebody's, say Dallas is willing to give them a two first rounds, or one this year.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
You got to do it, right? You got to move that far back. If they want Pitts that badly, Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to ask for the moon, and I bet Jerry Jones pays it.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, Pitts is going to be the guy that breaks the tight end in the first round, you know, the curse.
But, we'll see.
But Jerry Jones being...
How good was Vernon Davis, you think, in his career?
Vernon Davis was really good.
Yeah.
Vernon Davis was really good.
I don't know if he had a top 10 career.
I wish he would have had a full, healthy career.
He did. He got banged up a lot.
That was the problem.
His best season, I think, was 2011 with San Francisco, the year they knocked the Saints out of the playoffs. He was incredible. Top of his game back then. But he always had soft tissue issues, kind of muscle-bound guy. Yeah. That four is going to be incredible because if it stays like the three everybody's talking and Atlanta does move and say Denver comes up or maybe Dallas comes up or New England comes up, which they never do, and then after that you don't know where you're going. You still have the two offensive linemen. You still have at least one wide receiver. You have two cornerbacks who everybody like. I mean, they all got to fit into the top 10. I don't know if there's enough numbers for that.
I mean, they should just start at three.
Just start at three?
Like, Goodell should just get up there and read what Jaguars and the Jets are going to take, and then Atlanta or San Francisco's on the clock.
Make their choice. If I'm them, I'm taking Trey Lance. Honestly, just after all of them I watched, that's who I take.
I know I'm not taking Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
But I don't know, what Justin Fields was doing earlier this week in his pro day with Shanahan in his hip pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think San Francisco is past Mac Jones. I mean, Vegas will tell you that, but I don't know why they were ever on Mac Jones.
Yeah. I don't either. So you look at the odds, isn't it still Mac Jones?
No, Justin Fields now is a favorite in Vegas.
At what? At minus number?
Minus 135.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lock at that number. I don't know why you'd pass on Justin Fields. I don't know what they see. Every excuse I've heard so far doesn't make any sense.
But he's the one guy every year, you know this, one guy that gets identified and gets picked apart with these cliched critiques.
Yeah, and usually it's African-American quarterback. But I do understand the fact that people look at Ohio State and go, who's come out of there and been a successful quarterback?
Well,
that's one of the things they look at.
You know, the other part of Justin Fields, it goes back to Ryan Day. I mean, it's a validation of Ryan Day if Justin Fields goes three. Yeah. Or he goes four.
Right.
And he goes to the NFL and does well. I mean, that's scary for the rest of the Big Ten.
They already recruit like they do.
You know, they've already attracted five-star quarterbacks. They take Justin Fields, who everybody is cracking on. Mm-hmm. They get him drafted third or fourth or wherever. And he goes in the NFL and has early success. Come on. I mean, Ryan Day walks into your home and you're a quarterback. You're going to go, nah, I'm good.
You know, if Mac Jones doesn't go three,
he's going to fall.
He could fall to the 20s.
Well, what if New England is at 15?
I don't think
still?
They take him.
See, I agree I with you. I agree with him. You. I think they would be more apt to go get Justin Fields.
Or Trey Lance. I think they would go up and do that over. I don't think they would let him fall there and take him. I just don't see that happening. I don't know. If he doesn't go there, he could have just a crazy drop. He could have a Brady Quinn kind of drop.
Mm-hmm.
Where we thought Brady Quinn was going to go in a certain spot, and then it took somebody coming back into the first round to take him.
And I think if New England, if you get to 15 and there's a wide receiver sitting there.
They want Waddle. I mean, Waddle, I think, is the one they're kind of targeting. They know because of injury he's going to drop. I think that's the guy they're
targeting. Especially if you feel like Cam Newton in a full season under your tutelage will be okay and that you can fix him and you're going to add weapons, which you've already done in the offseason, and you add a rookie dynamic first-round wide receiver, then maybe you fixed your problem.
I don't know, man. He looked so bad last year. I know it was 1 year. I know what happened with everything involving COVID, but he couldn't make 5 yard out throws without bouncing them at times. He looks so bad at times. But maybe he's healthy. Maybe he will be. Second year in the system. Maybe all that stuff is true.
I mean, give him credit. They've said, okay, if we're going to stick with Cam, we got to go get him something.
And they gave him a prove it deal too. So it's worth his while to go out and have this amazing season. That's going to earn him more money.
I mean, I hope he does. I mean, that's for New England. But New England may be able to play a nice, quiet style of football, rely on their defense, and you know, win 10 games. And
the original New England Super Bowl, the 2001, where it wasn't all about Brady. It was about running the ball,
but
playing defense.
As you know, that division's a little bit different.
It is. And I
mean, that's going to take
Miami's the wild card.
That might be 11 or 12 wins to win that division.
Yeah, Miami's definitely the wild card. What they do in this draft is going to be interesting. I think they're in a perfect spot. Six is great.
See, the win totals are out today?
I did see that. And it's kind of based off of what the average was that everybody expected analytic-wise. Although I thought the Saints at 9.5, I thought was a little high. The Eagles are the one I see a lot of people betting the over on the Eagles. I know it's 17 games. I think they're a mess. I would bet the under 6.5 on them.
Unless people think all of the chatter about the Eagles still acquiring a quarterback, not a draft pick quarterback,
that would
but
certainly
a real
would change a lot. I was saying, but I think Washington's going to be better. I think Dallas is going to be healthier.
I think the Giants are 7.5. That's all. I'd go over.
Yeah, Giants about that. I their quarterback position. I don't like Daniel Jones at this point. I just don't. He's bad. His numbers are bad. He had worse numbers than Gardner in terms of analytics than Gardner Minshew.
See. This is the make it or break it year for him as well.
Yeah, it is. Hey, have a great show.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Have a good weekend.